Poor Mrs. Quack finds happiness. For days at a time, Mrs. Quack hadn't had a full stomach because of the hunters with their terrible guns. And when just before dark that night she returned to the Smiling Pool, her stomach was quite empty. "I don't suppose I'll find much to eat here, but a little in peace and safety is better than a feast with worry and danger," said she, swimming over to the brown broken-down bulrushes on one side of the Smiling Pool and appearing to stand on her head as she plunged it under water and searched in the mud on the bottom for food. Peter Rabbit looked over at Jerry Muskrat sitting on the big rock, and Jerry winked. In a minute, up bobbed the head of Mrs. Quack, and there was both a pleased and a worried look on her face. She had found some of the corn left there by Farmer Brown's boy. At once she swam out to the middle of the Smiling Pool, looking suspiciously this way and that way. "There is corn over there," said she. "Do you know how it came there?"
"I saw Farmer Brown's boy throwing something over there," replied Peter. "Didn't we tell you that he would be good to you?"
"Quack, quack, quack. I've seen that kind of kindness too often to be fooled by it," snapped Mrs. Quack. "He probably saw me leave in a hurry and put this corn here, hoping that I would come back and find it and make up my mind to stay here a while. He thinks that if I do, he'll have a chance to hide near enough to shoot me. I didn't believe this could be a safe place for me, and now I know it. I'll stay here tonight, but tomorrow I'll try to find some other place." "Oh, dear, it's dreadful not to have any place at all to feel safe in." There were tears in her eyes. Peter thought of the dear old Briar Patch and how safe he always felt there, and he felt a great pity for poor Mrs. Quack, who couldn't feel safe anywhere. And then right away he grew indignant that she should be so distrustful of Farmer Brown's boy, though if he had stopped to think, he would have remembered that once he was just as distrustful.
"I should think," said Peter with a great deal of dignity, "that you might at least believe what Jerry Muskrat and I, who live here all the time, tell you. We ought to know Farmer Brown's boy if anyone does, and we tell you that he won't harm a feather of you."
"He won't get the chance," snapped Mrs. Quack. Jerry Muskrat sniffed in disgust.
"I don't doubt you have suffered a lot from men with terrible guns," said he. "But you don't suppose Peter and I have lived as long as we have without learning a little, do you? I wouldn't trust many of those two-legged creatures myself, but Farmer Brown's boy is different. If all of them were like him, we wouldn't have a thing to fear from them. He has a heart. Yes, indeed, he has a heart. Now you take my advice and eat whatever he has put there for you. Be thankful and stop worrying. Peter and I will keep watch and warn you if there is any danger."
I don't know as even this would have overcome Mrs. Quack's fears if it hadn't been for the taste of that good corn in her mouth and her empty stomach. She just couldn't resist these, and presently she was back among the rushes, hunting out the corn and wheat as fast as ever she could. When at last she could eat no more, she felt so comfortable that somehow the Smiling Pool didn't seem such a dangerous place after all, and she quite forgot Farmer Brown's boy. She found a snug hiding place among the rushes, too far out from the bank for Reddy Fox to surprise her. And then, with a sleepy good night to Jerry and Peter, she tucked her head under her wing and soon was fast asleep. One day Mrs. Quack made a nest on the ground, a nest of dried grass and leaves, and lined it with the softest and most beautiful of linings, down plucked from her own breast. In it she laid 10 eggs. Then came long weeks of patient sitting on them, watching the wonder of growing things about her. The bursting into bloom of shy wood flowers, the unfolding of leaves on bush and tree, the springing up in a night of queer mushrooms, which people call toadstools, and all the time dreaming beautiful duck dreams of the babies which would one day hatch from those precious eggs. She never left them, save to get a little food and just enough exercise to keep her well and strong. And when she did leave them, she always carefully pulled soft down over them to keep them warm while she was away. In due time, early one morning, Mrs. Quack proudly led forth, for their first swim, 10 downy, funny ducklings. Oh, those were happy days indeed for Mr. and Mrs. Quack. Finally, the ducklings grew up. And when Jack Frost came in the fall, the whole family started on the long journey to the sunny Southland. I hope they got there safely. Don't you?